In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stevens Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred in Little Stevens Underground Garage, and it's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. I'll be speaking momentarily with Lefty Weakling of Asbury Park, New Jersey's Weaklings. Lefty is better known as singer-songwriter Glenn Burke, and he plays bass in the band. The group's latest single and recent coolest song in the world is a cover of the Beatles song, I've Just Seen a Face. It's available now from Gem Records. I'll spend some of it, followed by my talk with Glenn, on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Stevens' Underground Garage. It's Coolest Conversations time here in Little Stevens Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred. My guest today is Lefty Weakling, also known as Glenn Burtnick, and he's a singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, former member of Styx, and bass player in the Weaklings. And the Weaklings' latest single, I've Just Seen a Face, is this week's coolest song in the world. How you doing, Glenn?
I'm doing great, Manfred.
You know, yesterday, February 9th, that was the anniversary of the Beatles' first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show back in 64. You were maybe around nine at the time? Did you see the performance?
Yes, absolutely.
Was it a life-changing moment?
Well, I was definitely aware that there was a cultural shift going on. And I distinctly remember looking around my family's living room and taking in all of the reactions. I have two older brothers. The oldest brother thought, nah, it's a gimmick. What's this with the hair? My younger older brother, he liked them. My mother had no opinion, and my dad wasn't impressed, but I was very impressed with Ringo. I mean, you know, Ringo was a very visual kind of rocker, and that's what I remember. And yeah, it was a big deal for sure.
So Ringo was the one that sort of caught your eye there.
Yeah.
But do you play drums as well?
I started drum lessons, you know, within 6 months of that. And that was my first instrument, and I studied for a couple of years. And I was in a couple of bands, and then I got, you know, then my ego wouldn't handle that. So I needed to be up front, you know, so that's what happened there, you know.
You guys covered the I've Just Seen a Face, the Beatles tune. And the first time we spoke was back in 2015. We talked about, you know, how the Beatles had influenced you and also how you had appeared in this Broadway production of Beatlemania.
Yes.
Can you remind us about those heady days of Beatlemania?
There was a lot of hype about that show. It was a hit show on Broadway. I was not the original cast. And I would see these TV advertisements, and I was too snooty. I thought, you know, this is jive. This is a bunch of, you know, this is not the Beatles. These are guys dressed up. But somebody suggested I go try out anyway. I'm a left-handed, obviously, so that helped. And so I auditioned, and I told them at the audition, I said, you know, I'm not impressed. And they said, well, come see the show. And then when I went to see this show on Broadway, and it was rock and roll music, it was like the closest thing to being in the Beatles, I guess, at the time. And I've, you know, and then I just fell in love, and I was like, well, I'll take that gig. That's a good gig, you know. I mean, you know,
were,
at the time,
Paul, right? You took on
I was
Paul.
A Paul. And yeah. As it turned out, Marshall Crenshaw was my John, is how I like to say it. But yeah, it was Marshall and myself and two other guys. But it was at the time, culturally, it was the disco era. You know, yeah. we would rehearse next door to Studio 54. And so, I mean, given the choice of being a musician in nightclubs playing disco music or being on Broadway playing Beatle music, it was a pretty easy choice to make.
You know? Absolutely. So are you New Jersey born and bred?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, where in the Garden State did you grow up?
New Brunswick was my town, but about 20 years ago, I moved to Asbury Park, but I've always had connections with Asbury for sure.
Well, I know you've written like hit songs, the likes of Randy Travis. There's a duet that Patti Smyth and Don Henley did. Of course, your Time and Sticks. How did you get plugged in the whole songwriting world? How does that fit into your career arc?
I was probably a songwriter, after being a drummer, as soon as I picked up a guitar, basically, if I knew two chords, which I did at first, I remember A minor and E, then I wrote a song using A minor and E as the foundation. So, there was always a creative thing, and I was writing music all the time while I'm playing bars. And, but for the most part, it was easier to get work at that time, anyway, early on as a musician in bars and on that show Beatlemania. But a few years later, I had my own record deal. I put out a couple of solo albums on A&M Records, and my songwriting started to have a reputation, I guess, and things got busy. I started selling a lot of my music.
Can you remind us exactly when and how the Weaklings got together?
Excuse me. about 7 years ago, I had a show. Annually, I would put on a show about the Beatles, a theatrical show, where basically like a jukebox musical. And I would fill up the stage, and we would recreate Sergeant Pepper. We were the first one was reliving Sergeant Pepper, so we did that entire album. For that, we needed a small orchestra and some keyboards and a harp. And then the next year, it was the 45th anniversary of the White Album, and so you need a choir and an orchestra and all that for that. The following year, well, then we did Abbey Road, and then when it came around, we kind of ran out of 45th anniversaries, but it was the 50th anniversary of the first two Beatle albums. So you don't need you really don't need any more than four guys on stage for the most part. And with the exception, maybe there's some percussion, maybe there's some piano, but on those first two shows, you really just need four guys. And so I called up three of my friends, and I said, let's work on this. And what we learned in studying those early Beatle albums is that it was a really well arranged quartet. Yeah. Like, you know, all the parts really worked, and they interact really well. And so that gave birth to this foursome, this quartet of ours. And after that show, we had had so much fun. We said, well, let's keep playing. Let's play bars. And then we started playing bars. Again, this is around 2015.
Yeah.
And we said, well, let's sell some merch. So we made an album of rare Beatles songs. But then we also decided let's write some of our own songs in that genre. So that kind of, and then Marty Scott of Gem Records came a calling, and he offered us a record deal, and we've been having fun ever since.
Right. Well, you have three studio albums on Gem. There's the eponymous, the self-titled debut, then Studio 2, and then the third one being 3. The new single, I've Just Seen a Face, is our coolest song in the world this week. What is it about this Beatles song that drew you to it? Why'd you decide to cover this one?
Well, you know, we've done a lot of rare Beatles stuff, but we do notice that people just know, of course, they know the more popular songs. And a lot of times we predominantly like to rearrange take a Beatles song and make it fit for the weaklings. So,
right.
So, you know, like we recorded our own version of What's the New Mary Jane, which people don't really remember the Beatles ever doing that. You know, like some crazy stuff. We do a good version of The Word, but
yeah,
I remember being a kid and getting that American version of Rubber Soul album, and what a great opener it was. I've Just Seen a Face, and great melody. And so, you know, we thought we'd give it a different spin and kind of make it into our own.
Well, it's interesting. So that the Beatles version's got that acoustic guitar in there, pretty prominent and driving it along, your version rocking throughout. So how did you guys got together in the practice space and sort of sorted that out together?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I had an initial idea, but everybody chipped in. And one of the parts I really am proud of is that, and this might not have been my idea, we took that intro, that lovely intro that Paul McCartney played on acoustic guitar, and we used it for the instrumental bridge of the song. So the song doesn't start with that, but we snuck it in later in the song. So there's things like that that are really fun. It's really fun to rearrange a classic song.
And you guys do some pretty cool videos, and you've got one for I've Just Seen a Face. You're up on the rooftop, a la, you know, Let It Be. Now, who are the women that come up and take your places over the course of the video?
Well, I'll tell you the story of that. We play the Fest for Beatles fans. Beatles convention, it happens a number of times throughout the year. And one time at a lookalike contest they had on stage, I took note of these two girls who they looked so much like John and Paul. It was amazing. And so these females that are dressed as and look like John and Paul gave me this idea of, you know, well, we should have them in the video instead of us. So there's Skylar Moody. It looks like John, and Layla Ortiz looks like Paul. They did a really great job. And John Rajavi, our guitar player, Rocky Weakling, also known as, his daughter is a teenager, Michelle, and she was given the task of playing the role of her father, playing the role of George. So, and then we found this very young girl who is a great young drummer, whose name is escaping me right now, Annalisa. And she just showed up the day of the shoot, got up there on the rooftop with us, and the four of them are much cuter than we are.
Well, when's the next album happening? Are you working on a full length?
Well, we are, but in looking back in the past, we consider it really a singles world now. So we're not putting out an album all at once. We're putting out songs one at a time. And that's a new way in my career to work, to look at things. And it's really fun. It's like you're totally focused on one idea at a time. Even though we've cut a lot of basic tracks, we're finishing one song at a time, carefully mixing, carefully selecting what it is that we're doing, and maybe reacting to our audience and the market and stuff like that. But yeah, one song at a time, a single at a time.
Well, you guys are scheduled to play tonight in Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, at the Mauchunk Opera House. So Jim Thorpe, PA, that's an interesting name for a town.
Well, there's a story there which blows my mind. It's a mind-blowing story. But the original name of the town was Mauchunk, which is a Native American name. And that's the original name of the town. Thus, the Mauchunk Opera House, they right. kept the name. However, Jim Thorpe was a Olympiad. He was a great athlete. He was actually of Native American descent. He died penniless, as I understand.
Yeah.
Oh. And they kind of needed money to bury him or whatever. So there was some kind of contest to have this great Olympic star buried in your town. And there was a drawing of some sort, and Mauchunk, being a town by the water in the mountains of Pennsylvania, kind of the Poconos, actually, it's a beautiful town, but it also is a bit of a resort, that a vacation spot that wasn't really doing great.
Yeah.
They won this contest to have Jim Thorpe buried in their town. And they promptly figured, well, if we name the town after him, this will draw more tourists to our town. So, and the killer is that Jim Thorpe never set a foot in that town ever in his lifetime.
Oh, man. Have you guys ever played the Mauchunk Opera House before?
We have a couple of times, and it's really cool. It's this old, beautiful, actually, the town itself of Jim Thorpe is gorgeous. I love that place. And it's a quiet little town tucked away, but it's got a vinyl record shop, and it's got some great restaurants, and, and it's got, of course, it's kind of the burial place of Jim Thorpe, but it has this beautiful opera house. It's old, vaudeville type, silent movie looking theater that they've kept together. They've maintained it, and it's a treat to play there. So yeah, everybody in the New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania area, come see us.
What time would you be starting about?
You know, I never know, but I would bet it's more like 7:30 or 8.
Oh, so it would be earlier than later, sure.
Well, I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. We were also playing out this Saturday at the Town Crier Cafe in Beacon, New York. Do I have that right?
Yeah. Very cool place. Very great. The owner has been in business forever. He's a music guy. It's just a really great, another really great little town, Beacon, New York, with a waterway going right through the center of town. And That's a beautiful venue, and we're looking forward to that too.
Well, the people in Jim Thorpe and Beacon, they better be ready to rock this weekend, because you're bringing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to go out now with a favorite track of mine off of your eponymous debut album from 2015, Little Tease. Is this one still in your live set?
Yeah. It's a rocker, and people like it. And it's a typical example of us writing a song that could have been written in 1966. We really kind of dedicated, initially, the Weaklings dedicated ourselves to coming up with music that sounded antique. And I think that we achieved it with Little Tease.
Well, Glenn, I want to thank you again for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Thanks, Manfred.
I'm going to take a listen now to the Weaklings' Little Tease here in Little Stevens Underground Garage. Hey!
Just don't have to please, 'cause you're such a little tease. Got you out of mind.
That was a portion of Little Tease by the Weaklings here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. The track is on their eponymous debut of 2015. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks to the band's bass player Glenn Lefty Burtnick for speaking with me today. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. L.A. band The Bayonets have got a new single out now on Wicked Cool Records titled Argentina. And joining me to talk about the new release is their drummer, Oliver Lieber, son of famed producer and songwriter Jerry Lieber. He's my guest next time around for your Coolies Conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.